Okay, here's what I need you to do. I know that our director, our producer earlier said to take out your phones, take pictures and hashtags. I need you to take out your phone again. I need you to check into Navigation Church, but here's the question that I have for you. When will you be taking down your Christmas decorations? It's kind of in the middle of the week. Are you waiting all the way to January? So when you check in, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it might be, I need to know this question as plaid outfits are walking up and I'm so distracted right now. So when will you be taking down your Christmas decorations? So as you check in, make sure to post that. As you're doing that, a couple fun facts for you. The Wonderful Life, that movie, originally, do you know that it was a box office flop? And Frank Capra, I think is how you say his name, Capra, or however you want to say it, went $525,000 in the hole making that movie. Ralphie's dad, A Christmas Story, do you know that he was never given a name? Okay, good, you did. Muppet's Christmas Carol was the first Muppet movie made without Jim Henson. He had passed away for the making of that one. How many like the movie Elf? Do you know originally the script came out 10 years earlier and there was an actor by the name of Jim Carrey planning on doing it, but it took 10 years to make, and by that time there was a Saturday Night Live star that kind of had a breakout named Will Ferrell, so he ended up getting the part. This is the one I'm looking forward to reading to you. A Wonderful Life. In 1947, the FBI issued a memo noting that the film had potential, quote, communist infiltration of the motion picture industry. Just ruin it for you. I'm so excited about this. It's citing its, quote, rather obvious attempt to discredit bankers by casting Lionel Barrymore as the Scrooge type so that he would be the most hated man in the picture. So the next time you watch it, enjoy watching communism. Okay, so final thing. This is a quick poll that I have, an informal. Next year, Christmas is on a Wednesday, which seems really far away from a Sunday morning. If we had a Christmas Eve service, don't say, boy, that sounds fun. How many would go, I'd probably come to a Christmas Eve service? You don't feel bad? Let's do a show of hands. Okay, good. That's my informal poll. Okay, now I want to tell you about a very fun word that I learned. How many have ever heard the word pareidolia before? Oh, yes. Like if a bunch raised your hand, I would have felt bad like I didn't study this word. Pareidolia. Here's what it is. A psychological phenomenon where the human mind perceives familiar patterns even though none exist. Here's the thing I'll tell you. You actually know what this is, you just didn't know the name. And I'm going to prove it by showing you this picture. How many see two faces with a wide open mouth and teeth? It's not. It's a green pepper. But our brain, pareidolia, we see faces where there are no faces. We see eyes where there are no eyes because we're familiar with those patterns, so we actually read into them. Here's another example. How many see a dying flower? You see what? You're wrong. It's a dying flower, right? But the thing is, our minds perceive what's not there. And, Amon, let me show you one more. Right? Like it's a Jamaican palm tree, right? But it's not a Jamaican palm tree, it's a palm tree. But our minds perceive a familiar pattern that isn't actually there, pareidolia. So this actually, the reason I fell upon this is because there was a lady, and I have a picture of her, she sold a grilled cheese sandwich for $28,000 because, ready for this, 10 years earlier, when she made it, she saw the Virgin Mary in this grilled cheese, saved it, sealed it, because as she was taking the bite, I don't know if you see the little round part, as she's taking the bite, she saw the Virgin Mary, but it's not the Virgin Mary, it's a what? Grilled cheese sandwich. And so she ended up selling it for, so just so you know, this whole past week, I've gone through 19 loaves of bread and like, payday, Cammy. I walk into Aldi, they're like, what are you doing back? I'm like, finding cash. And so, but I actually find this interesting because I think as humans, we are actually looking for God in the world around us. Like we want to find him, but it's actually not in the human nature to easily see him. And part of it makes sense because if you think back, this is, by the way, this is what is in the Bible. So if you're not familiar with this, human history started about 6,000 years ago or so. But for thousands of years, the only thing mankind knew about God was a promise that he gave to one guy named Abraham. Like there was some traditions that were passed down, but primarily it was a promise given to a guy named Abraham. And then a guy named Moses found God in a bush, and eventually he was a pillar of fire. And then ready for this? We knew God because he was in a box. Like that's how we were used to seeing him. And this box hung around for a while, but eventually we had some kings that told us about God. We had some judges, we had some prophets, and that lasted a few thousand years. But then for hundreds of years, there was nothing. We didn't hear from God. We couldn't find God. We couldn't talk to God. God was separate. But then Mary, Joseph, the play we just saw, God with us, Emmanuel, God actually stepped into out of eternity, into time, in order to reveal who he was. And here's the thing. I know Mary had kids and I had kids, and I'm not trying to put myself on the same level as Mary, but mine are heavenly. Okay, so But here's what I do know. The moment I started having kids, I started seeing things I've never seen before. For instance, do you know there's parks all over the place with free playgrounds? When I was single, I wasn't hanging out there. Because that's how you get the cops called on you. I don't think I need to do that joke. So, but do you know there's something called splash pads? Exactly, no kids. When you get kids, you realize you can take them to a park, and instead of running your water at your house and destroying your grass, you can take them somewhere and they get to splash around. The zoo. Like, there's fun things that are free things that now that I have kids, I notice them all around. And then you know what else I found out? There's a lot of dangers in the world. I didn't know about them when I didn't have kids, but last week when Mariah, my youngest little baby girl, not quite three, reached up and pulled a knife out, because it was in the wrong drawer, I blame my wife for that. All of a sudden I saw these dangers. And do you know kids that are this tall, their forehead is the same height as a table? The edges of these tables are vicious, like they're crazy. I started noticing all these dangers all around. And then this past week, I've been to Springfield a bunch, but I was in Springfield going to the Capitol, and all of a sudden I realized I need to bring my kids up here. Right, because there's an opportunity for them to see this, and there's a big arch over there that magically showed up one day, and I want to take my kids there and show them this muddy Mississippi that somehow we're all proud of around here. And like, I have all these opportunities to share these things with my kids, but I didn't ever pick up these familiar patterns until I started having kids. But now that I started having kids, this whole new pareidolia started kicking in, and I see these patterns in the world around me. How can I help them have fun? How can I help them in these places of fear and danger? How can I help them with these opportunities? And here's the thing. Mary, imagine what her life was like the moment she started raising the Son of God. See, Mary started seeing all these different things in the world around that she's never seen before. Because there's never been God on earth with us before. But the moment God came on earth, she started seeing these places of fun. Can you imagine? What was Mary like with Jesus when they were baby, when he was a baby? How fun would he have been? When she sets him in to have a bath and he just stands on the water. You gotta get in there, right? You know? There had to be some type of him learning how to do miracles. And we know this because the very first miracle was done because Mary went to her son and said, you need to do this. So he had to have been doing something, but she didn't know what God was like until she started living with him. And then imagine the fears. Every time you go into a city, the first Sunday in January, I'm going to be talking about the type of fears and opportunities and potential that Jesus had. And apparently I'm looking forward to preaching that already because I'm giving you a heads up about it. But how do you deal with fear? Because the disciples, they were all in a boat one time freaking out, and Jesus dealt with that a whole lot different than they did. But then the opportunities in our life to go places we've never gone before, now that we have Jesus and we have these redeemed body and we're living in a way that we never had before. And so I would say this, in your life, if you don't see God in your fun, in your fears, or in your opportunities, or in your play, my question for you is simply this, are you familiar with who he is? Because the more familiar we become with his patterns, the more familiar we become with his personality, the more familiar we become on who he is and what he says, it becomes easier and easier for us to find him in a day-to-day life. And so if you're going through something right now in your life and you're fearful, if you're going through something in your life right now and you're looking for new opportunities as you go into 2019, if you're going through your life right now and you just want to have fun, I would say this: make sure you can point out and find God in those opportunities. And let me say this, rather than only having a pareidola when it comes to faces, what if we have a pareidola when it comes to finding God? And we just start identifying him all those different places. So the first place that you need to identify God is the need for him. So this Christmas time, I'm going to tell you about the greatest present you will ever receive. And you can't pick it up at the local store. You can't order it on Amazon for a 2-day delivery. It's better than that. It's with you now, present. And you might not know what you're looking for, but the good news is I found it and I know exactly what it looks like. And what it is, it's a craving that you have in your soul that you've never been able to satisfy it. And you've tried to do it with sex. You've tried to do it with relationships. You tried to do it with money. You tried to do it with drugs. You tried to do it with toys. And everything that you get just doesn't satisfy you. I want to tell you about the thing that does, and that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to show you this picture today. I want to show you this pareidola if I could. And that way, when I point it out to you, go, I see that face in there. And that face is staring back at you to say to this, that he wants a personal relationship with you. God was so distant for so time, but he had a longing to be with humanity that he actually became human. And that's what this Christmas is all about. That's what this celebration that we're going to have just a few days from now. It's not about the gifts. It's not about just going to grandma's. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never said, you know what, I want to do more than know about him, but I want to have an ongoing relationship with him, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say yes to that. And I'm going to invite you to even raise your hand just so that I can see that you've made a decision. But in order to make you as comfortable as I can, and those of you watching online, the same question is going to be for you. Could I just ask everybody, just close your eyes, bow your heads. In order for, if someone around you wants to make a life-changing decision today, I don't want them to feel pressure from you. And so I just appreciate everyone doing that. If you're here this morning and you want to say yes to an ongoing, living relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a head knowledge of who he is, or not just a understanding that, hey, this is what Christmas is, this is what Easter is, but I'm saying you wake up in the morning and you go, good morning, God. And you want to start finding who he is in your everyday life. With every eye closed and head bowed, if you're here this morning and you would like to say yes to Jesus Christ, I'm just going to invite you to slip your hand up in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. And if you're listening, I see those hands back there. I see these hands up here. Praise God. If you're watching us online, the same question goes out to you, and I'm going to actually invite you to raise your hand right now. I'm going to invite you to make the same physical act that we're doing here. You don't have to feel strange about it, but it's just a small step so that God can see the decision that you're making. And with so many hands in the air, both here and I know online, could I just invite everyone to say this with me? Dear Jesus, today I have come to an understanding of what Christmas is all about. And today, I unwrap the gift known as salvation. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. Lord, I thank you so much today for every hand that went up and for every decision that was made. Your word so clearly says that if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, that we will be saved. And God, Jesus, you make it so easy for us to love you back. And we thank you for that this morning. And I pray for every person is going through something right now in a place of fear in their life. Lord, I pray that they can identify where you're at. Any place that, Lord, we're just having fun, even in this holiday season, I pray that we can identify you in that fun. And for every opportunity that we need a door to open or a door to close, God, let us find you there in a way we've never had before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.